You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. My name is Noah Oldham, and I'm here with President of Send Network and one of my absolute favorite preachers, Pastor Vance Pittman. Vance, good to be back on the podcast with you.
Man, it is great to be here, Noah. Excited about today's episode. I'm always excited when we have, you know, guests that I look up to and admire, but we literally have like a legend today on our podcast. This is unbelievable. So I could not be more excited about who we have today and the subject matter that we're going to be talking about, because so many of us have learned so much from him about this. So Noah, I'll let you introduce him and tell us where we're going.
Yeah, joining us today is Dr. Crawford Laritz. Dr. Laritz is president and founder of Beyond Our Generation, an organization committed to helping shape the next generation of leaders. He's been a church planter, served for 27 years on the staff of Campus Crusade for Christ, and served for 15 years as senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church in Roswell, Georgia. Crawford and his wife Karen have four adult children and 11 grandchildren. Dr. Laritz, welcome to the New Churches Podcast.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Vance said I'm a legend. Well, legend's just code language for old as dirt, but thank you.
That's so great. No, seriously, it is an incredible honor. I mean, obviously, your son Brian and I, and then I've actually gotten to know Brendan pretty well. Brendan's been out here in Vegas with us for a while and grown to love him. But Brian and I are just Brian's one of my best friends on the planet, and I have such deep respect for him. And just being, you know, around your sons, doing life with your sons, you can't fake kids. And there's the Crawford Laritz that everybody knows on platforms and books, and but then there's the Crawford Laritz that I've gotten to know from knowing his sons that has caused me to admire you at an even deeper level. And so I'm real excited. Brian, you know, is one of our vice presidents with Send Network, helping us lead in the multi-ethnic conversation. Mm-hmm. And so for a lot of reasons, we're just thrilled to have you here.
Well, good to be here, my friend. Good to be here.
Well, gentlemen, what a timely subject to be discussing today. The realm of news and social media has never been more active or tumultuous. And in a world of hot takes, pastors can be lured into having to have a shared opinion in all things happening everywhere. On top of that, it is 2024 and an election year, and goodness, we could all use some help. And so today we are talking about preaching in current events. And I could think of nobody better to help us with that than you, Dr. Laritz. And so just from the start here, why, as we think about preaching and current events, why must we first understand an issue before we address it? And how do those knee-jerk reactions harm our ability to actually respond effectively?
Well, you just described the need for integrity. That's what it's really all about. You know, when you go off half-baked or you develop your total comprehensive approach to any issue based upon a soundbite that you get or reading your favorite person, the integrity of the gospel is at stake. And you can't separate the integrity from the preacher from the content of what he's saying. So if you're going to denounce something, if you're going to be strong about something, then you need to, in the name of everything that is godly and right, you need to be comprehensive in your understanding of what the issue is, so that you don't peddle fear and anger in the name of being prophetic. It's a very serious issue. And one of the things, and you didn't ask me all of this, and one of the things that has troubled me most about people who pop off on social media, or we stand up and we give this stream of consciousness and we denounce people and all of this, all in the name of being prophetic. So often when we're proven to be wrong, I don't see the apologies coming out of that. You know, I don't see that. I see excuses and this kind of thing. And so humility is not a lack of courage. Humility is being courageous. But I think it's so terribly important. Not we need to be courageous. We need to denounce sin. But whenever we denounce it, there ought to be a tear in our eyes. Mm. We ought to feel the hurt and pain that is causing, not just my personal offense, but the hurt against our great God and ourselves, and not come across as taking pleasure in putting people in their place.
Wow. Dr. Laritz, I want to follow up on that and ask you this, because a lot of our church planters feel this tension. Something happens in a week. Let's say it's the attack that happened in Israel with Hamas, or it's an incident like a George Floyd. And they don't fully understand all of it yet, but they feel the need on Sunday to say something, to say nothing.
Yes.
They would be seen as avoiding, but they don't fully understand it yet. What wisdom would you give them about addressing something that's a current event that needs to be addressed, but they don't have full understanding yet?
Well, speak to that which you do understand. In other words, I think that to not say anything at all, it's a glaring omission. There's certain things that are just compel and be able to stand up and say to your people, hey, look, I don't understand all the dynamics here. I don't understand the details of all of this. But I do know, for example, in the case of George Floyd, I do know that man had people who loved him. I do know that he's gone. I do know that this has caused a lot of pain. I do know that it's triggered a lot of feelings. And so let's not rush to judgment, but at the same time, in the name of Jesus, let's weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. People are hurting, and let's pray that the hope of the gospel rushes in. And that's full of integrity. But I think what we have to, Vance, you're kicking up against something that I think what we have to be careful of, especially for younger church planters, is that we don't get herded into some groupthink.
Yeah.
Just because our tribe is saying all of this, that you cut and paste what your tribe is saying, and then you come off, you know, looking silly. And this is not about politics. This is not about who has the last say. This is not about, you know, who's going to get the most likes and clicks and followers. This is about humility. This is about giving an appropriate word. This is about positioning the gospel. This is about the hope of heaven. So say what you know, say it with humility, but be clear.
That's really good. You're thinking about preaching this on Sunday, and no matter if it's a verse-by-verse exposition through a book or it's topical, when these events happen, it's engaging the Word of God to bring it to bear. How does God's Word help you to respond to an issue or an event? If not directly defined by Scripture, what biblical principles help you to address it?
Well, I think there's some, you know— If you preach expositionally, then you're submitted to the truth of God's word in all things. And that there are some issues, no, the Bible doesn't give you a point by point, this is what you say, this is what you say, this is what you say. However, there are biblical principles involved. And I think you need to take your time, whatever the issue is, and search the scriptures and find out what those principles are and in their proper context, not hijacking the Bible and making sure that you're not using the text to say what you want to say, but to say what it says. All right. Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing, but there's something behind all of this. I think that what we need to be careful of is that we don't avoid the relational identity commands of Scripture in favor of all these propositional command. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, listen, there's never, ever, 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 ever a time where it's okay not to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Ever. And so how we approach these things, you got to be careful that you don't define righteous indignation as just vomiting all the truth that you know and beating people up with the Bible. You've got to represent the heart of the Savior. And there's no excuse for that. And all the name calling that I see on social media and all of that, they're just cheap shots. And what does it say about our character? You see, the point is this. Your character and your godliness has to be greater than the platform that you stand on and the issue that you're addressing.
Wow.
And so you've got to first fall on your knees before a holy God and ask him to put your anger and all of this in perspective. It's not that you're not unclear. Anybody that's ever heard me preach, I'm pretty strong about certain things. Yeah. It's not that you're unclear, but don't come across as if you're the fourth member of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta humble yourself, and then you approach the scriptures, and your attitude is say, God, what do you have to say about injustices here? What do you have to say about these people who are hurting? Mm. Help me to find out what you have to say. And then stand up, pray it up, and say it with clarity and boldness.
Mm. I love the line that you just said. It is never okay to not demonstrate the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because I pastored in Las Vegas for 22 years, you've been there, Dr. Witz, a very multi-ethnic church. Our church has 54 first languages spoken in our fellowship. It looks like heaven on Sunday morning. And that line that you just used is applicable to the left and the right. Like it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're talking to, whether it's people on the left side or the right side, which our church had both of those in it.
Yeah.
Nobody gets the right to not demonstrate the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. Whatever our argument, whatever our point, it's to be clothed in the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. And that, I think that one line would probably put Twitter out of business tomorrow.
No, I mean, you know, we've all been there. And I got to tell you, I feel strongly about issues. There have been times in which in the past I've even hit send on something on my social media stuff, only to go back and have to apologize for that.
Yeah.
But you got to wait a click. And here's the temptation. As preachers of the gospel, we've got to know the difference between reacting and responding. Normally, when I react to something, it's going to be exaggerated. It's going to be exaggerated. I'm going to be ticked off about something. I'm going to be angry about, you know, the right or the left or whatever the deal is this. But responding means that I take a few clicks. I sit back. I search my heart. And it's not about reacting to the issue, but it's about responding to God in light of this issue.
Oh.
And that's where the balance comes, and that's where the integrity comes. You know, what does God want me to say? You know, what does God want me to do? How is this little line that I, an insight that I put out there, and I'm going to hit the send button. Does that represent my Savior? Does that represent his heart? And so we've got to stop letting people hotwire us. And that's what's happening. And the last, listen, I'm a little bit too old to do recreational conversations about this stuff. Listen, man, you know, that we have been prostituted as Christians over the last 10 years.
Wow. Yes.
The right and the left has pimped us out.
You're right.
Excuse the expression.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've got to reclaim the sacred center. We're not owned by anything or anybody but the Lordship of Jesus. And we must address these issues, not as a partisan group of people, you know, being the mouthpiece for the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or whatever it might be. We've got to regain the sacred center. And I don't mean compromise here.
Yeah.
But the gospel center on all of these matters, which requires us to make sure that the words that come out of our mouth tell the truth about the Savior we represent and the truth that we're giving, and that there's an eternal perspective that's being addressed here.
Hmm. So in light of that, Dr. Ritz, we're walking in as 2024. This is going to be an election year, an election cycle. Would you give our church planters who are listening to this some practical boundaries or guidelines about how do you address the political stuff that's going to happen this year? How did you did this so faithfully and as such an example for so many years. What guidance would you give the young church planter around the pulpit and politics this year?
Yeah. Well, we need to keep in mind, you know, the problem with that question is that it's a moving target. There's not a template to say, here are the six things that you should always do, this kind of thing. It's a moving target. What you have to lay the groundwork in terms of what's the brand of your preaching. In other words, this is the reason why I believe in exposition. I believe in expository preaching and teaching. And so you're communicating to your people the identity and your philosophy of ministry all along. That doesn't change in an election year. Mm-hmm. Now, what might happen is that you have to shift a little bit because there's such a compelling issue that's confusing the congregation or whatever, whether it's social justice or whatever it might be, that you have to go back, okay, but you still do exposition. Mm. Because, listen, you're stewards of the voice of God. You're not carrying the water of the issue, and you're not trying to be cute, and you're not trying to be relevant. You're trying to help your people, and preaching is a discipleship deal. You're trying to help your people think distinctively biblically as kingdom people in light of the issues that's occurring right now. And so that's how you think these things through. I also think that you need to preach in such a way, as I said earlier, that you don't communicate that you're a mouthpiece for anybody except for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And stop making these terrible assumptions that, you know, somehow or another, the White House is heaven and the president is God. And and stop giving power to anybody, including Congress, the president, or any political power party. And I think your demeanor is that you're going to be anchored by hope. You're going to be anchored by that which never changes. It is always noble. It is always refreshingly right. And so no matter what the issues are, you're going to do what is right and what is biblical. You know, I mean, to mistreat people, I don't care what color you are, is wrong.
Yeah.
It is wrong. There's no justification for it. There's no excuse for it. It's wronged in an election year, but it was wronged under civil rights. I mean, it's always
right.
Wrong.
Yeah. That's right.
And so there's got to be biblical consistency about who you are. And you don't change who you are in light of the issues.
It's good. That's really good. So, I love that. And for church planters that are listening, an example, during the last election cycle, when I was still pastoring in Las Vegas, To follow what you just said, Dr. Ritz, we wanted to preach expositionally, which is who we were. So we took the Sermon on the Mount, the section on the Beatitudes.
Oh my,
And we did a series. Actually, Brian preached in that with me out in Vegas. We did a series called Radical Red Letters, and the subtitle was Kingdom Living in a Chaotic Land.
Yes, sir.
And it allowed us to just exposit what it looked like to live out kingdom lifestyle and it was such a countercultural moment to watch how the world was reacting. But it's what you just said. It's biblical exposition in light of the current events, but you just stay true to who you are. I think that's incredible wisdom, especially that line about, I'll tell you, I wrote it down, not reacting to the event, but responding to God in light of the event. My gosh, that's gold right there. Now that would help Twitter.
Well, see, Vance, what you just did, that sermon series you just did, you accomplished two amazing things. Number one, it was profoundly relevant in light of the issues. But those principles are always enduringly right.
That's right.
You see, that's the advantage that you have. And to do topical preaching, that's a short shelf life.
Mm.
It's a short shelf life. It's appealing and it's nice. You turn a phrase and this kind of thing. But when you dig down to that eternal truth, the moment in history, that event in history that you address from that eternal truth becomes an illustration as to how these issues need to be addressed always into the future. And that's a marvelous thing. One other thing I want to say, too, is that the preaching moment is the demonstration of the power of God. It is the demonstration of the power of God. And so when you're standing up to preach and you're handling the voice of God, the voice of God, he is speaking.
Yes.
When you're standing up to preach, you got to understand that power is working through two things. It's working through God's active voice, but it's also working through a yielded, spirit-filled vessel. And so we ought to be scared spitless that we say or do anything that shortcuts the flow of that power. Because, you know, preaching is a word from God for the people at a moment in history. God has something to say. And so these issues should drive us to our knees and ask God to give us a word from his word for that moment. And remember that God likes to serve his meals on clean plates. And this is where it all comes together. Your job as a preacher is not to be cute. Your job as a preacher is not to be clever. Your job as a preacher is not to be a social analyst. But your job as a preacher is to be a yielded voice of God for that moment in history. And so it begins with how you think about yourself. You take these issues. God doesn't have a speech impediment. He's spoken to all of these issues. You yield to him. And then you stand up with great confidence and let the Holy Spirit do what he does.
Man,
that's a whole word right there. Man, thank you, Dr. Rich, for joining us for this episode. I know it is going to bear fruit in the lives of those who listen and probably re-listen and re-listen and re-listen, especially in the year that we're about to face. Hey, thank you all for listening to the New Churches podcast. Until next time, let's heed the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 4. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, yet also always be sober-minded. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.